The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise the Lord. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm so glad you could join us once again as we get into a new subject, but a related subject to what we've been talking about. We just completed a series of seven messages on the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, depending on whether you got a King James. You know, King James talks about a baptism of the Holy Ghost and baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they're the same thing. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is the third unique person of the Godhead. Amen? He, the Holy Spirit, is just as much God as God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Amen? Amen. We won't get into a study of the Trinity, but it is a great study. We'll do that someday. Praise the Lord. But we want to go into a study today, beginning today, and I'm sure it'll go for a couple of netcasts, on spiritual gifts. And it's a very, very important study. Now, we're right on the cusp of an announcement I'd love to be able to make today, but I can't. It'll have to wait until next time. But we have received approval for a new ministry to go on speakfaith.tv, and I'm excited about it. We'll be talking about that more next time. I know I've been teasing it here for a while, but it's coming. Hallelujah. And it's almost here. So hang in there. If you haven't already signed up for speakfaith.tv, I encourage you to do that. You can go to your Roku account, roku.com, and sign up for speakfaith.tv there by going to their channel search tool. Look for Speak Faith. When you find us, go ahead and click on us there and sign up. And then when you log into your Roku account, your Roku box, next time you turn your TV on, it should be there. If it's not there, after you sign up for it, you can always do a system update, and that will update your Roku box with your new information. So, praise the Lord. Now you say, well, I don't have a Roku, Dr. Bill. Well, get one. Hallelujah. There is so many good things on Roku now. Brother Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Andrew Womack is out there. Oh, man, there's just all kinds of good things to receive from the Word of God from your Roku box. And we just got word that Roku is going to start building the Roku technology into television sets. So there's going to be a Roku TV set before too long. So, I'm telling you, folks, people that have the ability to watch Speak Faith TV is just going to keep increasing and increasing and increasing. So, hallelujah, that's a good thing. Also, Word of Faith Radio, great things are happening there. At least for the time being, we are on not only Monday through Friday at 11:30 Eastern Time, we are now also on at 6:45 in the evening Eastern Time. In other words, the program that airs at 11:30 in the morning will now also air at 6:45 in the evening. Now, I don't know how long Brother Harold's going to keep us in that time slot, but he's put us there, and he is a blessing. Hallelujah. He's a precious brother in the Lord, and I tell you, there's a lot of good things happening at Word of Faith Radio. So stay tuned to Word of Faith Radio. Of course, you can go to WOFR for Word of Faith Radio .org, as it says there on the screen, and you'll be able to listen to Word of Faith Radio. Praise the Lord. All right, let's get into our study. I'm excited about starting this study. This is going to be great. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You knew we were going to go there for a study on spiritual gifts. Now, this is verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, I can say with Paul, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I want you to know about spiritual gifts. And that's what Paul is saying here. Verse 2, ye know that ye were Gentiles. Now, Gentiles, as we know, were without God, without a covenant in the earth. Okay? They knew nothing of the things of God. Amen? So, he says, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is his Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, that doesn't mean that if you tie somebody down and say, say Jesus is Lord, and they say Jesus is Lord, that that's by the Holy Ghost. You know what I'm saying? No, there are people that obviously can be coerced into saying Jesus is Lord. But what he's talking about here is saying that Jesus is their Lord and meaning it from their heart, truly believing that Jesus Christ is Lord of their life. They say that by the Holy Spirit. All right. I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say Jesus is their Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Then he goes on to verse 4 and starts explaining about spiritual gifts. He says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Now notice he points out diversities, differences, diversities. In each case, he's talking about there's different ways that these spiritual gifts can operate. Now, different ways within the confines of the meaning of these spiritual gifts. You can't say you're operating in the gift of, well, let me give you a good example, real good example. You can't say I'm operating in the gift of discerning of spirits, and by that you mean finding fault with Christians or with anyone. You see what I'm saying? Oh, well, I discern his spirit. He has an evil spirit in himself. And not talking about he has a demon, but that he is not someone who's honest. You know, that's outside of the meaning of discerning of spirits as the Bible defines it. Okay? So, don't think that these diversities of operations mean that you can just attach any meaning to what a spiritual gift is. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't think you can just make it up as you go along. That's not how it works. Amen? You know, I get the impression these days there's a lot of Christians going around just kind of making it up off the cuff as they go along saying, oh yes, I'm spiritual. No, it doesn't work that way. But what he is saying is, just as there are unique presentations, I'll give you a good example of this. There are a lot of people that love to hear Brother Kenneth E. Hagin preach. I love to hear Brother Kenneth E. Hagin preach. Now, he's gone on to be with the Lord now, but he's got a lot of cassettes and a lot of videos and a lot of things that I can still listen to him teach and preach. And I love to hear him preach and teach. But then there's other people say, well, I really love Kenneth Copeland. I like his presentation. And they'd rather listen to him. Now, I like them both. I like to listen to both types of presentations. But you know, Brother Hagin, he'll take one scripture, and then he'll go off and tell a whole bunch of good stories about explaining about that scripture. And he can get more out of that one scripture for an hour teaching than probably anybody I've ever heard. And then he'll go back to that same scripture the next time. He'll get another hour teaching out of it. You know what I'm saying? But now, Brother Copeland, he'll go line upon line, and he'll teach this scripture and that scripture and this scripture and that scripture. And, I mean, you are just covered with the scriptural evidence of whatever it is he's teaching on. You know what I'm saying? He uses a lot of scripture. Well, that's a different style. That's not to say he doesn't tell stories, too. You know what I'm saying? But it's a different style, it's a different presentation, but it's the same Holy Ghost, and it's the same message, and it's the same meaning. And they're both Word of Faith ministers. You see what I'm saying? So that's really what he's saying here. There are differences of the way the gifts operate. There are differences in the way they are administered. There are differences in their operation, but it's the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Now, I will point out he's talking to brethren, talking to Christians here. So it's every man among Christians. These gifts don't operate in the world. There are a lot of people that say, well, you know, that psychic with spiritual insight, well, he has spiritual gifts in operation. No, he doesn't. He's not born again. He's motivated by demonic forces. There's nothing of the Holy Ghost about him. So no, that is not a spiritual gift. Okay? So this is every man among Christians. He is given to every man to profit withal. Let's go back and read it again, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. So let's, if you're making a list, let's make a list and put that down as number one. The word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. That's the second one. To another, faith. We'll talk about what kind of faith he's talking about here in a few minutes. But this faith is the third one he's talking about by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. And if you look at it in the Greek actually says gifts of healings. In other words, both gifts and healings are plural. Okay? In the Greek. So gifts of healings, that's another one that we can list, by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, that's yet another one. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. We mentioned discerning of spirits earlier. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. So all of these listed are what Brother Kenneth E. Hagin calls, and I like this phrase, this term, he calls these the nine simple gifts of the Spirit. Now, not simple as in, you know, a simple person is not very bright. You know what I'm saying? Not that kind of simple. But basic, at the core, simple gifts of the Spirit. There are ministry gifts that we've talked about in past teachings from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the ministry gifts. There's ministry gifts listed at the last of this chapter, chapter 12, beginning around verse 28. He lists ministry gifts, the same list as over in Ephesians chapter 4. He's just reiterating them or listing them separately. Those are ministry gifts. These are the simple gifts. A lot, I'm going to say this, listen closely, because this is a key. A lot of the misunderstanding of spiritual gifts and the operation of spiritual gifts is derived from a lack of understanding of spiritual gifts, specifically their definitions, what they are, how they operate. And these three chapters, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, are the key to unlocking these spiritual gifts and how they operate and how it all fits together. Now, I got into an interesting discussion at work on Friday. Normally, you don't get into a whole lot of really deep spiritual discussions at work because you're working, right? But we had some folks come in that were consultants, and when I was talking to some of these consultants, and somehow or another, I don't know how it happened, but somehow or another, we got over into talking about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the gentleman who from the outside that had come in as a consultant, he knew a good bit about the Bible. He was raised in church. He was raised, matter of fact, like me, he was raised Southern Baptist. And then he started going to charismatic churches, and he heard a lot of Bible teaching. And we got into a discussion about spiritual gifts. And there were other guys in the room there who weren't, shall we say, as well-versed in the Scripture. And they were just looking at us like, what? We were throwing around definitions and terms and scripture and quoting things. And they were like, wow, you know, I feel like I came to a gunfight with a knife. You know what I'm saying? they were outside their element. But it was a good discussion. We had a good discussion and, you know, it was very pleasant. We enjoyed it and it didn't last long. I mean, you know. When you're at work, you're there to work. But this was just a little break, and we were talking, all right? But it was interesting to me to see other folks there in the room who just zing. I mean, you know, they weren't getting it. They didn't understand what we were talking about. And some of the things they didn't understand, to me and to this other brother, who, by the way, obviously was born again and so forth, but to he and I who were doing the discussion, it was like, well, oh, yeah, we understand this. This is simple. We know this. The other people in the room were like, what? I never heard any of this. They were ignorant. Now, keep in mind, verse 1, remember, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ignorant does not mean stupid. That's a problem that a lot of people right there, they don't know the definition of this. Ignorant. Ignorant just means you don't know. Doesn't mean you're not capable of knowing. Doesn't mean you're incapable of understanding something. You know, somebody that is truly, by definition, stupid doesn't have the intellectual capacity to understand or to learn. But ignorant, you could be a rocket scientist. You could be a super intelligent individual and simply not know a particular thing. Maybe it's outside your field of expertise, and you could be called literally ignorant of that particular subject. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing to be ashamed of in being ignorant. What you don't want to be is obstinate and set in your ways and refuse to learn and potentially be stupid by choice. No, if you're ignorant, you need to learn. And that's what he's saying here. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, and concerning the definition of spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to understand. I want you to get this. And as I said, that's my heart here today. I want you to get this. I want you to know what we're talking about here. So stay tuned to these netcasts and really get into this, because these are things you need to know. All right, he lists these 9 spiritual gifts, simple gifts of the Spirit. And then in verse 11 he says, but all 9 of these simple gifts worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man, again, every Christian, every man among this group of Christians, severally as he will. Now there's an important point right there. These 9 simple gifts of the Spirit are given as the Holy Spirit wills. You can't just decide, well, you know, I think I'm going to work a working of miracles gift of the Spirit today. I know what I'll do. I'm going to work a word of wisdom today. It doesn't work that way. The Holy Spirit manifests these as he wills. You say, well, yeah, now hold on, Dr. Bill. Now, I can speak. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I can speak in tongues. I can start speaking in tongues anytime I want to. And that's listed here as a gift of tongues. See, that gets into the definitions once again. There's a difference. This is a key point. Get this now. There is a difference between the simple spiritual gift of tongues and the private prayer language of speaking in tongues, such as occurs when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then you are capable of speaking in tongues at any point after that, because you decide to. Now, the Holy Ghost will take, you know, that opportunity to speak through you when you begin to speak, but it's up to you. That's the private prayer language that you have, that Jude, we referred to this earlier in our last study, Jude verse 20 talks about, but ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Ye do that when ye want to. You know what I'm saying? That's the private prayer language. But that's not what he's talking about when he's talking about these 9 simple gifts of the Spirit. Well, how do you know that, Dr. Bill? Well, because we're studying it out. We're finding out what it has to say. Tongues, public ministry of tongues, occurs as the Spirit wills in a service, and is usually, matter of fact, should always be, accompanied by interpretation. because tongues in and of itself in a public assembly does not profit or benefit anyone. And this says that all of these gifts are given to profit with all, profit the entire assembly. Matter of fact, here's another key point. Very key point to this whole study. Most of these, the instances of these gifts that he's talking about here, and this entire basis for 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, are about a public church assembly. They are not primarily, it is not a primarily a teaching from a personal perspective of one Christian in his private prayer closet. It is given from the perspective of brethren together in the assembly, in the body, in the church, the local church. Now that will be absolutely demonstrated when we get over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We will see that is specifically what he's talking about. But even here, this perspective starting in chapter 12, he's talking to the whole assembly of the local church. And again, you've got to understand all of the context here and all of the premise here in order to fully understand how all this comes together. So for right now, let's just take it as rote that when he talks about speaking in tongues and interpretation, that is in the public assembly. And when we're talking about private prayer language, that's yet another separate thing that we can study. All right? But that's what I'm saying. If you don't get these nuances, if you don't get these definitions, you're going to miss so much of the meaning here. But let's keep reading. All these worketh that one in the self same spirit, dividing to every man severally in this assembly as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one spirit we are baptized into one body. See, when you, as a believer, or when you become a believer, you are baptized into the body of Christ. That's a term that is a New Testament term that means literally being born again. You are baptized into the body of Christ. And that's what he's talking about here. For as the body is one member, well, let me back up. Verse 13, for by one spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. There's that assembly again that we're talking about. And the whole of the body of Christ is what we're talking about. If the foot shall say, I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No. They each have a different, unique purpose. Your foot does not serve the same purpose as your hand, right? Well, in the same way, you as an individual in the body of Christ don't serve the same function or purpose as another individual in the body of Christ, nor does one of the nine simple gifts of the Spirit serve the same purpose as another of the nine simple gifts of the Spirit. You see that? All right, let's keep going. If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No. The ear and the eye have different purposes. The eye is to see, the ear is to hear. Separate purposes. But if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. But if they were all one member, where were the body? But now there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, no. Much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. There's a lot of people that they wonder, why in the world do I have a little finger? What's it good for? Well, I'll tell you what, if you didn't have that little finger, you would be amazed how it would affect everything you do. When you pick something up, it wouldn't feel right. That little finger provides capabilities that you are not aware of, you would not be aware of, until you lost it. Now, I don't encourage you to lose it. Hang on to it. Same thing with a little toe. your whole foot would be kind of off kilter if that little toe was gone. Now, I'll say this, same thing with a local church. If somebody has been called to that local church assembly and they get off track and they go away from that local church, then it's like losing a member of your body. And it affects the whole body. It's damaging to the whole body. Whew, that's another whole series we could get into, but we won't. We're going to keep tracking here. All right. He goes on to make this point in verse, let's go back up to verse 22. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow the more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism. That's a good old King James word. It means division. There should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Again, in the local church, there should be no division. There should be no schism, but we should all have care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. I'll give you a good example of this. This is a real good practical thing. Somebody at your church is believing God, and they're believing God for a car. Oh, they're believing God for a car. They need that car so they can drive to work and, you know, earn a living and so forth, provide for their family. And somebody gives them a brand new car. Do you go out and look at that car and go, huh, I don't see why he got a car. I can get a car. Is that the right reaction? No. You should rejoice with that member. You should praise the Lord for that member. It should bless you as much as though you had gotten it personally. You may say, well, I don't know about that, Dr. Bill. See, that's thinking with the flesh, not with the spirit. We are all one body. We're all members of that one body. And when one is honored, we are honored with it. One is blessed, we are blessed with that member. You know, and putting it in the church context, if one member of that church is blessed, then all the people in that church are blessed. You see what I'm saying? There should be no division, and we should rejoice with one another when we're blessed like that. All right, let's keep reading. Whether one member suffers or has a problem, all members take it upon themselves to help solve that issue. You see what I'm saying? And we're out of time. I told you we'd have to pick up again next time, so we'll do that. Stay tuned for that. By the way, if you'd like to be part of the project that we've got underway right now, pray whether God would have you be part of this project to receive this video equipment for a super amazing low price of $7,500 for high quality equipment. And I tell you what, it will be a blessing if you want to get involved with that. You can write us here at Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213 5213, High Point, North Carolina, zip code 27262. You can also write me at my email address, and of course, that's much faster to write me there if you have a question or comment or whatever. You can write me at Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WFM.org. Join us again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God.
The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.